know, navigating adolescence, preteen, teen, and even young adulthood as a parent or grandparent can be a tough job. And that's why, well, that's why we're here. We want to help you, encourage you. You can do it and share your stories in the process. We got some great callers we've talked to who are going to be sharing their story, what they're facing, a few questions coming up. We'll get to those. You can share your comment or question about raising teens in 2024. On our comment line at 888-888-1717 today. By the way, if you missed yesterday, I hope you'll go back to our archives at our website or our podcast and listen to it. It was all about social media, the impact in the life of our kids. And as parents, when we got the Surgeon General about to put a warning label on social media for the developing brain of young people, it's something you ought to be taking a second look at in terms of how you manage it. And Cody wanted to respond to that from the program yesterday. Cody, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Randy. How are you doing?
Good. We were talking social media yesterday. What have you learned about this, and how do you handle it?
Yeah, so I'm 26 years old, and I'm having my first child this month, actually.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. First baby boy, so we're really excited. But yeah, I kind of grew up in the advent of social media, you know, cell phones with internet on them, all this type of stuff. And I've kind of seen how it's affected my own life. Because at the beginning, you know, you're quoting all these stats, and we talk about the Surgeon General putting these warning labels on this stuff, but at the beginning, no one really knew how much of an impact it was going to have. And so I kind of had free access on everything. And, I've kind of seen how it's impacted my own life.
How did it impact you?
Just having free range on, the internet, leading to, bad sexual temptations, things like that. Yeah. Video games, I was on that all the time, had the most time on it out of all my friends, and it kind of isolated me from people, kind of made me withdraw within myself rather than being more expressive than what I, might have been if I had more outside interactions than just what I was doing online.
So your parents weren't monitoring much? You were kind of on your own?
Yeah, I was basically on my own, and I don't really blame them that much because, like I said, it was so new that we didn't have the wisdom that we do now and all the statistics and stuff.
Yeah.
But
so how are you managing it now?
So, yeah, one of the things that, I wanted to bring up, maybe this is a help for other parents, but I'm getting a new phone. It's called the Wise Phone 2, and it's basically just got texting, calling, navigation, basic apps that doesn't have any social media or internet. And it's a Christian company too, so they're focused on, making your life more healthy through that technology.
Huh.
And I was thinking forward with my son, it's hard for your kids to see you have access to all this stuff, and obviously parents should have more access than their kids, but they also can't really say anything I want an iPhone when my dad has this Wise phone that doesn't have all this functionality, So they can't expect to get all the extra stuff if their own father doesn't have it, or mom, or whatever it is.
Well, let me see if I understand. It's called a Wise phone, and so the technology itself limits basically what you've chosen to get access to on your phone.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a completely new product, and it's a lot different than alternative products like the Bark phone, in that they're building their own completely own hardware and own software. So they control everything.
Huh.
There's some limitations with other alternatives because they're kind of using Samsung phones and putting extra layers on top of that. But with the Wise phone, it's their own complete product. And so they have a lot more control, and they're a Christian company. So their whole vision and mission is to help you live a more healthier lifestyle by limiting your technology.
So part of if I hear this, really at the foundation of this, you're doing it to protect yourself.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But also looking forward to, using these things with my children as well. and not having them come back and be like, oh, I want an iPhone when I don't even have an iPhone. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Getting starting early. Good for you, Cody.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. And it's a reminder that maybe you grew up in a home where there was just no limits. You weren't taught. You were just freehand, and your developing brain made stupid choices, which kids tend to do because the brain isn't fully developed. We know that the impulse control doesn't show up until about age 25 in most people, and for some it's about 85. Hello. But developmentally, these young people, you know, they're doing these things because their brain hasn't developed. And making decisions, they're trying to figure it out. That's part of why they're talking about warning on these things. And Cody's saying, hey, I'm going to just be smart. All right. Thank you, Cody. Appreciate it. Now, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We're talking teens today. Get to some other calls. People from all around the country want to share a story, a question, or a success word on what's going on with their teenager. Stay tuned.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Come and join us. Thank you, Kurt. Theintentionallife.com. That's the place to go. Or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Here's a smart, powerful verse from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40. Actually, 30 and 31, two verses. It says that even youth grow tired. Not as tired as they ought to sometimes when you want to get to bed, right? Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40. So young people even get weary. Strength from the Lord. All right, talking teens, got parents around the country, grandparents, friends, family who want to talk about it. Let's go to Carrie next in Arizona. Carrie, what's your story?
So, yes, I have a 14-year-old, and he seems to be, like, pressing my buttons and manipulating me at times. I'm not sure if it's really trying to get what he wants, but it seems to be more attention-grabbing.
So what kind of buttons does he push? Where is it that he lights you up?
It's more of what he says. We'll be playing like a board game or something, and he'll like, oh, okay, well, I just won't take my turn because nobody likes me or...
Yeah. So what do you do? What do you say or do when he says that?
Right now, I just keep playing and go ahead and skip his turn. And
so what did you do in the past, though?
In the past, but you know, I thought it was a cry for attention and you know, I sit down and talk with him, and you know, there's been some issues at school. You know, nothing that doesn't seem to be too outlandish or outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, he just, you know, getting into middle school and stuff like that. And
so is this basically how he tries to get your attention? Usually some negative response to something about himself?
Yeah, some sort of put down, you know, if something's not going his way, you know, then it's like a do or die type thing.
Well, you know, I would just encourage you, Carrie, with your son, not to make a big deal out of it. It sounds like you're not, and that's good. You know, kids can roll their eyes. They can feel sorry for themselves. And a lot of that's attention-getting behavior. I've always told parents over the years, when you have a son or daughter who gives you the sad story of I'm not liked and poor me and that kind of thing, it is not to be sucked into it or even say it. Don't even say, well, that's not true, because that's their experience. They're trying to get your attention. But you could simply say, you know what? That's not my experience with you. That's not the way I see you. Man, when I look at you, I see a terrific young person that God has made special, got some great gifts, and I don't know what God's going to do in your life in the future, but whatever it is, could be terrific. And so I just don't see you the same way, and move on. In other words, you're instilling into their life the truth, but you're not being sucked into the vortex of their feel sorry for me, attention getting behavior, which is something that a lot of kids are looking for in their relationship with their parents. Okay. All right. Thank you, Carrie. It looks like we got a daughter question here from Michigan with Jessica. Jessica, go ahead and tell us what's the question about your daughter?
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Jessica, and I'm calling from Michigan. And I had a question regarding my 17-year-old daughter. She is wanting to date a 22-year-old man. He does come from a Christian home, and we have been asking both of them to wait until she's 18 and out of high school to further any type of relationship. Unfortunately, we're getting a lot of kickback from both of them and also his family. They don't seem to have a problem with it. We're really, really having trouble. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to hurt our daughter. We don't want to force her to not have any type of friendship with him. But we just don't know what to do at this point.
Jessica, can I just lovingly be really straight with you? I would get rid of the vocabulary. We don't want to hurt her feelings, and we don't want to upset this young man, and we don't want to upset their parents. You know what? And I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I wouldn't give a rip for any of that. This is your daughter. She's 17 years old. You need to tell her the truth in love. And if that young man does not respect you enough to honor that with a minor daughter, then that's not the guy for your daughter or the in-laws, future in-laws for your daughter. Now, he may be the turnout and be fantastic and all of that, but if he doesn't respect you guys long enough and well enough to honor that and understand your perspective on it, then there's something wrong. And I'd be that straight with your daughter, and I'd be that straight with him. I'd say, we care for you guys, we want the best for you, but frankly, our daughter's 17, and if you respect us, you could give us a year or two. Because again, we were talking yesterday about the developing brain. You got a 17-year-old daughter. Her brain is not fully developed. She's still not fully developed in terms of making the kind of decisions that are going to be life-altering. And so I say this with passion and love, but I've been around long enough, and I've talked to so many parents, and I've seen the disaster of teenagers making poor decisions later saying, I wish someone had just told me the truth to slow down. Because if she doesn't, and if your thought as a parent is correct, you'll never forgive yourself if you don't later be very firm. And you can do that in love. Because I think I hear in your voice, Jessica, just a sweet, loving parent, and I'm sure you'll present it that way. Was I clear on that? Okay, thank you. That one got me there. Okay, let's go to Amy listening to us today. Amy, appreciate your call. What's your story?
Well, I am 41, and I lost my son, took his own life in October. And what I would say is, yes, we will lose our men, our boys. All of the stuff today is kind of geared toward girls and making girls powerful, but nothing's really geared toward boys and helping them discover who they are. And that wasn't what I was going to say. What I was actually going to say is the number one thing I would say to people in their 30s and 40s with pre-teen children and teen children, even as early as fifth grade, check in with them on a regular basis. Their brains have not developed fully to process everything, and it's important to tell them that they can come to you for anything, even if it's you that they're mad at, that they can come to you. You'll love them anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Amy, listen, you're making the point, and I hope Jessica was listening, about that brain development. We were just talking about that. You know, they're still developing. And so parents, don't assume that your teenager is getting all this. And we talked about social media yesterday and talking about the divorce rate. I was looking at a statistic here. This is from 2000 to 2021. The suicide rate for children and young adults ages 10 to 24 increased by 52%. In 2021, 10% of high school students reported attempts. And I just need to add, if you're feeling that today, you're maybe a young person listening, you're feeling overwhelmed. Listen, the decisions you make on something like that are forever, right? And I want to remind you, there's help available. I would encourage you, if you have these feelings and you're really struggling, you can call a toll-free number that's been made available for crisis hotline 988. You can text that as well. And there's someone in the country that will talk to you if you're feeling like that. We love you too much. God loves you too much. Don't do that. Reach out for help, 988, or text 988. Talking about teens today, parents, listen, God loves you. Raising teens, here's been the experience I've seen and experienced myself. All kids in their teen years are different. So what happens with the firstborn might be different than the secondborn. Understanding their differences. And understand, you all know, too, by the time they get to be 25, they're not going to be the same as they are when they're 15. That's why it's so critical during these adolescent years, which can be a time of ambivalence, to help those kids make good choices. Keep your ear to the ground and your eyes wide open when you're parenting, that's for sure. Talking Teens, you can join us on our storyline, 888-888-1717. The second thing at your defining moment is ask better questions. Now, I want to linger here for just a moment, because this thing of asking questions, I think, is a more profound statement than we recognize on the surface. When you sense, and when I sense at a defining moment in our life that something is happening, this is the time to start asking really good questions. Questions like, God, what are you saying to me? What am I to get from this? What would you have me do? What am I to learn from this? How did we get into this mess? What one thing did I violate in Scripture that maybe caused this to happen? How is this going to affect other people? Because I'm promising every one of us in this room will have a defining moment. That's the featured lesson for August in this new month on defining moments. And I'm using two characters in the Old Testament that each had a defining moment and each responded in a different way. Jonah ran and Nehemiah prayed. And the outcomes, I think, are a little different as you go and read the stories of Jonah and Nehemiah. There's if you're looking for a little Bible study, go compare those two guys and see how they each responded differently. One thing you'll notice is that Nehemiah, by verse 4 in chapter 1, he's already on his knees. And it didn't happen in Jonah's life until he was literally on his knees in the belly of a fish in chapter 2, and he's thinking maybe prayer would be a good idea. You ever get the bottom of the ocean stuck in the belly of a large fish, so to speak, that you say, maybe it's time to pray? Two guys, two different approaches to their defining moments. Hope you'll take a moment and read those stories. Hey, the lesson is up online. It's our featured lesson on our exclusive site for members of Intentional Living who are supporting every month. Thank you for doing that. You can come and be a part of this journey with us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2. Come be a part of Intentional Living.
I- I just wanted to share a story today about my daughter who was so upset because she felt like nobody at school liked her. And I know that there's so much going on with the kids today that maybe this will help one parent. And so after praying about it, I sat her down and I said, okay, do you want to be the most popular girl in school? Well, and of course, junior high. She said, yes. And I said, all right, here's what you're going to do. Every day you find someone different to give a compliment to. I like your shoes, great hair, whatever. And you have to come home and tell me all about it. The tears stopped after just a couple of days. She started really getting involved with other people. She got out of herself. And she became one of the most popular girls in school, homecoming queen, and she's now teaching in a Christian school. So life is wonderful.
Good for you. That's a lot of wisdom there. Isn't that really? That's fantastic. It made me think about my friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman. He always would tell young guys who want to meet a girl at college, I don't know how to meet a girl. He said, go get a blanket, borrow somebody's puppy, put the puppy on the blanket, and when the girls come by, they want to see the puppy, and you'll happen to be there. Well, you think that's going to work, Jennifer? Yeah? The puppy's probably cuter than he is, but that's okay. All right. I don't know how I went there. But anyway, we're talking about teens today. Let's go to Joshua in New Mexico. Appreciate your call, Joshua. Go right ahead. What's your story?
Yeah, just a comment. You know, I'm 35 years old now, have a wife and three children, but I grew up in a Christian home. And, you know, during my teen years, you know, when I didn't necessarily want to go to church or I was too tired to go to church, my parents, of course, made me go to church. And even though I didn't necessarily want to be there or didn't think I was paying attention or listening to the teachings or to the messages, just hearing the word being preached and being taught penetrated my heart. And I honestly believe that strengthen me and help me grow in my Christian walk. You know, not that I was so rebellious in high school or in my teen years, but, you know, as teenagers, you just don't want to go to church, or you're just too tired, or you're too cool to go to church. But my parents not necessarily giving me the option, saying you're going to church. And even though, again, I didn't think I was listening or paying attention, just having that, you know, subconsciously, I guess, the words of God and the messages definitely penetrated and made a huge impact in my life.
Yeah, listen, get your kids to it's amazing what they hear. We've discovered that with our grandkids. We take them to church or to an event, and they're playing around. You're thinking they're not listening, and then later they're quoting it. Or what I notice in the back seat when we have the grandkids, they're singing every word of the songs coming over the radio. They hear this stuff. That's why we do what we do. We just constantly putting out this kind of thing that's making a difference. Stephen, you were saying as we were listening to Joshua that you related to that.
Yeah, I was same kind of thing. It's not that I felt forced, but every time the church door was open, I was there, Sunday school, church. And the interesting thing was within that particular denomination, I went liberal with it.
Yeah.
And I started believing things like, Christ is not the way, he is a way. But the discipline of going to church, when I got to college, I hooked up with InterVarsity and Campus Crusade and Navigators because it was part of my discipline. And that's where God brought me back. Mm-hmm. To a loving and wholesome theology. Yeah, and so it was that, you know, mom dragging me. It stuck with me and it allowed me to.
All right, kids, get in the back seat. Let's go.
Exactly.
With love. All right. No fighting on the way to church. That's a whole nother story. How many parents fight on the way to church? All right. Let's go to Kathleen in New Mexico. Grandma, sounds like you have a concern with that granddaughter. Kathleen, go right ahead.
Well, I have a 15-year-old granddaughter, and she just turned 15, and she's a new Christian, and she has this boyfriend that is just a bad kid, and he's always wanting her to buy stuff for him, expensive things, and then also he calls her horrible names, and she is allowing that. She thinks she loves this guy, and he's 15 also. And so many people have told her, you know, this is not good. This, we know this boy's history, and, you know, he's not someone you should be associating with. And she doesn't see that. And she apparently has very low self-esteem because she wrote him a text and told him how she didn't deserve him. That, you know, he was so wonderful. And so I just feel like there's got to be self-esteem issues. And
well, let me ask a question, Kathleen. Are mom and dad involved? Are you raising your 15-year-old granddaughter?
No, my daughter is. And her parents are divorced, but she is with her dad some and mostly with her mom.
Mm. All right. Listen, thank you, Grandma. You got to be wise. And just say to grandparents, sometimes we have the greatest impact in the lives of our grandkids because parents can be so busy, distracted, going in a lot of different directions. We can have time to get in their life and speak in their life. Even though sometimes you might say, I don't really relate to everything going on, all their technology today and everything they're doing. That's okay. They don't need that from you. They got techies in their life that can help them with that. They need a nana, a papa, a grandma, a grandpa, whatever name they call you, to be involved in their life. So don't give up on that. I'll tell you how we're going to end the show today. We had a caller from a 17-year-old. This is a teenager. And she's going to wrap up the show as she basically tells us how she's chosen to live her life. Take a listen.
I'm 17 years old. I'm in high school right now. I actually just recently got off a date with God tonight. Took me and watched the sunset and just glorified his name. And it gives you so much more peace and love than any other relationship can. And one thing I've been praying for deeply is that God can bring his love into my life so entirely that I can just give it away, that I can just love people unconditionally.
There's hope. There's hope for America when we hear teens like that. I'll tell you what, we turn on the news today and we see what's going on in the world. We have a reason to be concerned. What our kids are being influenced with is just, well, it's bizarre. Let's just face it, it's bizarre. For anybody who's got a mind that has just common sense, let alone biblical sense. And so we need to be praying for our teens, loving our teens. And for those of you who are serving teens and young preteens and young adults in your church, in your community, God bless you. Stay the course. Stay there. They need you. It's tough work. But thank you for what you're doing, especially with the little ones that can be so tiring. But thank you for the work that you're doing, especially coming out of this summer. Some of you were there at the camps and on the mission trips and doing all those things. God bless you for doing it. I've got to run. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the Intentional Living family. Have a great time. We'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Ministry, a part of Intentional Life Media.